watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and drum roll, please. It is time for another cartoon clash.
I don't know how that came through.
Is this number 10? What are we on? Or is this 11?
I have no theoretically, apparently number 10. That feels wrong.
Yeah, because I think we did like a battle royale, I think, when we hit 9, right?
I don't know.
Well, in any case, we're doing it again.
I know we did a battle royale. I just don't remember if that was
episode. Last time we were here, we battle royaled. For those of you who are just coming in, those of you who are just coming into our cartoon clashes, this is a tournament that Katie and I set up. We've each proposed 6 cartoon characters from across the spectrum of animation, and we're going to be pitting them together in a hypothetical 1v1 cage match, essentially, to see who comes out on top, who bests who in a fight, and who is the ultimate warrior among this selection of cartoon characters. We got an eclectic mix today, I'd say. I think Katie and I have brought some real potential champions. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's get this started. Our first round, ding ding. We have an interesting matchup here. We are between Varian from Tangled, the animated series, versus Muffin from Bluey. Katie, how old would you say Muffin is?
Muffin is about 3. And
Muffin
feral. Three.
And feral and a puppy, to be clear. Still a blue healer, or
because Aussie Shepherd, something like that.
Yes, some form of dog. Versus a master alchemist, / soft boy emo kid I can fix. But would he be willing to harm a puppy who, as you alluded to, is feral and very willing to hurt him?
If Muffin has her car, she will run Varian over.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Muffin will commit so many acts of violence.
So some people, you know, the expression, like, they woke up and chose violence. Violence chose Muffin. Violence woke up and said, this is my avatar. Go forth, young puppy, and do my work. I think as assuming that Varian is not choosing to fight back with his any number of alchemical weapons at his disposal, I feel like he is bested by this puppy. I'm not gonna lie. I don't really see a world in, I mean, he has done some pretty despicable things. I don't think he could kill a puppy. I don't think he has that in him.
And an alchemist is smart. You're trying to calculate what your opponent will do to best use your things. There is no calculating Muffin.
No, Muffin definitely, like, steals one of his, like, exploding guns and, like, runs around playing with it. And he spends most of the time just trying to get it out of her hands because she could get hurt. And of course, she does it. Everyone else gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
She is a menace, and I love her so much.
I relate to Muffin.
That's why I love her so much. She reminds me of you.
Aw, thanks.
All right, so I'm willing to advance Muffin to the next round. That wasn't super challenging.
Woo! We've done so many of these, we're starting to, in theory, run low on characters I can think of.
But I think that's only making this more chaotic, that we've got some weird ones happening now.
I think I might have picked my weirdest one yet later.
We don't quite have that yet, but we will move on to the next round. Muffin advances. Sorry, Varian, back to the bench. Ding ding. The next one is Devil Dinosaur from Moon Girl versus Chopper, who, if I recall correctly, is from Star Wars.
Star Wars. Rebels, yes. Here's the thing. Before you even said that, I was in my head looking at the list and going, what would be funny of my characters come up against each other? Devil Diner and Chopper would be wild. And you said it. I was like, I cursed myself. Yes, Chopper from Star Wars Rebels, who is, in most of the numbers, considered to have committed the largest number of war crimes in the Star Wars universe.
And he's like a little droid.
He is a droid with hate in his heart. His tiny robotic heart is filled with war crime for his friends.
Versus Devil Dinosaur, who is a giant prehistoric monster with love in his heart.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Devil. He is a dinosaur. He's very strong. He's not very bright by himself.
He is not. If Moon Girl is not there, he has approximately one brain cell going in there. He is just a dinosaur.
Chopper to take out this dinosaur would throw an asteroid at the world, causing the second extinction of the dinosaurs. That's the kind of stuff Chopper would do. I can't think of a way that Devil beats Chopper other than maybe stepping on him.
Yeah, I think the real question is after the fight is done, does Chopper survive Moon Girl's wrath?
No, but that's not a variant here.
No, that's not involved. That's just Moon Girl beating up Chopper in the parking lot outside after the fight. But yeah, no, I think based on everything I've heard from you and what I know from my boyfriend excitedly yelling Chopper every time he comes up, I think Chopper definitely advances in this one.
He's a war criminal. He's a robot with a confirmed kill count in the thousands.
I like that this is very much, though, like a battle of past and future between Devil Dinosaur and Chopper. It reminds me of that SpongeBob episode where the robot and the cavemen fight.
Ah, yes.
That was great. That lives rent-free in my head. That was iconic.
So much of SpongeBob lives rent-free in my head because I've described my head as the SpongeBob scene where they're in his brain filing things. And there's a small fire being put out often.
I had a cog psych professor in college use that an example of the homunculus theorem. It was a very weird day. It was a strange day for me to be kind of hungover sitting in the back of that 9 a.m. class. Be like, oh, so SpongeBob is on the smart board right now? Okay, I might have fallen asleep. All right, so we're going to advance Chopper to the next round. Advance that war criminal. Yeah, things that I say on podcasts now. All right, then, oh God, the next one makes me kind of sad, Katie. So sometimes I like to put just fun ones in because I think I could have a kind of a curious time.
Oh no.
I put in Linus from the Peanuts cartoons because I love Linus and I love his blanket.
Is it who I think it is?
I think it is Linus versus Nifty from Hotel.
Okay, I feel like there's one that's worse than Nifty.
I don't know. I think for my brain to be like, what is the most wholesome cartoon? What is the spirit of childhood? What feels very literally like a warm blanket? Well, that's gotta be Peanuts. What is the exact opposite of that?
Uh-huh.
It has been Hotel. And I think Nifty is a pretty good personification of all of the worst aspects of that show. I mean, affectionate, like the most adult aspects of that show. She's a tiny murder thing, who likes to clean and also stab things. So I don't see how she's not gonna be deterred from stabbing Linus. There's nothing in her heart that would break at the idea of murdering a child. She is in literal hell, so like the one thing we know about her for sure for the first time we see her appear on screen is she is by definition a sinner, so, and we've seen her do a lot of murder. So
yeah, usually I try to help you sometimes let your characters win. I got nothing here.
Your characters do win most of the time. You pick very bloodthirsty characters.
Okay, I also picked, again, we should note, there's a character in here that should not win anything. We'll see how it goes.
There's a character here who might absolutely win because we'll find some weird way to have them win.
That's true with us.
However, one thing that I will bring up to play devil's advocate, do we televise these fights? Is my question. Is this public? Is this like, you know, kind of like, you know, a lot of people watching them on the big screen? Because Nifty does have a canonical weakness that she has really, really bad stage fright that makes her just freeze in place and not be able to do anything, which I think is a good chance for Linus to come up behind and just garrote her with the blanket. I'm not certain he would, but like, I'm Linus, you know, if you relate to Muffin, I think I kind of relate to Linus in like, this is a character who has been kind of pushed around and teased and taken advantage of for a long time. As you've said frequently about me, one day that person just snaps. Maybe this is that day.
Yeah, it's something I fear. It's the day you snap.
And will it likely happen after I've been waiting out in a pumpkin patch all Halloween? Yes, for sure. That is both big Linus energy and a big Scarlet energy.
But like we said earlier, sometimes you just have to go, well, that's something I never thought I'd say, but now I've said it on a podcast. I had to just process what you said.
It's frequently me. I say a lot of crazy stuff on this podcast. I was playing devil's advocate there with that argument. I think even if Nifty is temporarily paralyzed by stage fright, I don't think Linus has it in him to be a cold-blooded killer, or even a fighter. I think he's a lover, not a fighter. Yeah, although maybe not much of a lover because he doesn't like what when Sally is crushing on him. But in any case, yeah, I think this six-year-old boy does not beat the demon from hell. Well, I guess according to Hasbin Hotel rules, not literally a demon. I'm forgetting. What's are they? They're kind of demons, right? There's
I don't know. By the world I live in, which is D&D, if you're in hell, you're a devil, not a demon.
I guess that makes sense. So yeah, devil.
Evil. That's all that
evil.
Matters.
It's evil. So, ding ding. Nifty advances. Sorry, Linus. Go hit the showers, buddy.
Go find a medic.
We don't have rules against murder in this. We should have established rules against murder. I think well, Linus.
There's not dead. Murder.
I think Linus is just dead. Okay. The next one. These are both mine. So I put in a Pearl from SpongeBob, a giant whale, versus Jubilee from the X-Men cartoon. I thought in honor of X-Men 97 coming up soon, I should put in at least one X-Men. Jubilee, as I believe, was written for the cartoon. I don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure she was, though. Maybe she was actually in the comics first. She appeared in the comics first. But I think she was popularized in the cartoon. She's kind of just a bratty teenager, but she has like fireworks powers. I'm not gonna go into like I don't know enough about the character to like talk about her in like comic form. But at least in the cartoon, she's kind of useless, so I'm putting her in for that. Yes, Katie?
So we have one bratty teenager versus one bratty teenager.
I think Jubilee is, like, explicitly described as, like, a mall rat. Like, which is a phrase that is so 90s, it should be wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt.
But if you were in a mall food court, and a vulture took one big leap towards you, would you finish your food?
I'm sorry, what?
Moving on. I mean, I feel like Pearl could also be a mall rat.
Oh,
Not
Pearl's
an emo mall
definitely.
rat. I don't know what Jubilee shops at, but Pearl's like an Abercrombie and Fitch in 2005.
Oh, you're so, or Hollister, yeah.
Or Justice a little earlier in her life.
Right, when she was younger, Justice for sure.
She's graduated out of that. She got her ears pierced at Claire's.
Versus Jubilee, who I think probably would have been like a Hot Topic type.
That was what I was wondering. Is she a hot topic?
A little more Hot Topic. I think she's more like hang out in the food court,
I mean,
honestly.
which I was gonna say, which shop that's in every food court are they going to?
Ooh. Maybe like I feel like Pearl is like at a Dairy Queen and Jubilee is like Orange Julius.
No one's at the Sbarro.
No one wants to be at a Sbarro. Come
I
on.
did as a child.
You okay, wait, was this before you were in the Chicago area, I suppose?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then you have an excuse. I was about to
These
say,
were
like
the
if you
times where I didn't have other pizza places. I like Sbarro pizza. It reminds me of my childhood.
Well, I can't argue with that because you made it personal and nostalgic. But as someone who grew up outside of New York and had access to incredibly cheap and incredibly good pizza, never consider go. I don't even know if there was a Sbarro anywhere near
Special.
where I grew up. I think I only ever saw them on TV.
A Panda Express, perhaps, which I almost call China Panda, which is, again, not the name. That is a reference to Christmas Story.
So I don't remember exactly, but I feel like it's probably possible they put Jubilee in something like akin to a Panda Express because she is Chinese American. In any case, I want to read the official list of her powers because like I
Okay.
was kind of half joking when I said like her powers were useless. Because more just like oh like I remember her not being able to do much. Literally, here's the description. Jubilee has the mutant power to generate explosive bursts of multicolored energy that appear like fireworks. She can destroy electronics, break metal, and push people away.
I think
That's like
pushing people away is just the power of a teenager.
I was about to say, like it seems like the worst thing according to like and this is for like the whole show. So like presumably she like powers up as it goes along because like she's kind of like the audience surrogate in the beginning. The most she was ever able to do is quote break metal. That is the most generous they could ever describe her powers as breaking metal. That's not great. She's not that. She's not the Wolverine. She is not. She's got attitude though. She could have been one of the Power Rangers if the Power Rangers were hiring. She would have been a good Power Ranger. Pearl is just huge. Pearl is literally a whale. Like she
We
just
have
has
seen
all
Pearl
over.
jump while cheerleading and shake the world.
And like I feel like Jubilee's powers are not enough to penetrate the skin of a whale. Like I can like again the break metal aspect of it, like I joke, but that is something. But I don't know if it's hurt a whale level of something.
Yeah, my alternate theory, which we can't go with because it ruins the bracket, is they don't fight, they just make a cheer routine.
I think yeah, I think Pearl is literally gonna like she might be so excited to have like another teenage girl around because like she's got her little posse of NPCs in SpongeBob, but like I don't think they ever get names or anything. Like she might be like genuinely excited and like get like jump up and down, just knock Jubilee right out of the ring.
Yeah.
I love Pearl.
I otherwise cannot come up with a way because I don't know Jubilee that well. Where this ends.
I feel like I see a world in which Mr. Krabs bribes Jubilee to take a fall.
Or bribes the refs.
Bribes the refs, right? Like Mr. Krabs only spends money for his daughter. Like that's canon. He loves this little girl. So,
And for Mrs. Puff.
and for Mrs. Puff that one time, which that
But
episode
you're
stressed me
talking
out
about
so much as a kid.
this, but you're talking about this.
Okay, sidebar, that episode was so stressful to me as a child, and I'm stressed thinking about it as an adult because I feel like it hones into like the very real like life situation of someone telling you to do a thing and then getting mad at you for doing that thing. Like, how many times in all of our lives do we find ourselves in that situation and how stressful and obnoxious that is? Like, I don't like that one bit.
Yeah, but I like to quote that. To the
This is
audience
not
who can't see,
good.
I did the signs.
We're not talking
Signs.
about this.
Where?
talking about this? Yeah. No, I hate and love that. Okay, I'm willing to advance Pearl here.
Pearl.
I had to specify when I was writing this down for myself that it was Pearl from SpongeBob, because I'm pretty sure we've already used Pearl from Steven Universe.
We have done...
I know we did Amethyst.
Over almost 120 characters. This
we've done
will
a
take
lot.
120 characters. That's a lot of characters.
We've done a ton of characters. Okie doke. So that's Pearl advancing. Ding, ding. And now we are going to get to a very interesting one. Katie, what would you say is the strangest character you put forth in this fight?
Usually when you think about cartoon characters, you go, well, a key part is they should be animate characters, have sentience to be able to fight. And I went, what happens with the rules of fighting if I put in an inanimate object that's been given a face and personality by children? So I chose blank. I was really stretching for things.
So Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy, as you said, an inanimate block of wood, is going to be fighting Muffin. So, you know, pieces of wood, things that dogs are noticeably kind to.
But here's the thing. I had a funny image in my head of a Homer Simpson moment of Muffin just getting smacked in the face by Plank and getting KO'd.
I mean, it's possible. Is anyone controlling Plank? Like,
it is just Plank.
If it's just Plank. Yeah, like Muffin just grabs Plank and runs off and starts playing with him. Like, I don't see a world in which anything else happens.
I see a lot of funny images of different possible scenarios, like running it over with the car and accidentally whoosh, the plank is flying and boing, boing, boom.
Katie, I have the best scenario, and I want, if there's a listener out there who is particularly adept at animation, please animate this. Muffin is playing with Plank as if he's her husband, puts him in the passenger seat of her little motorized car, drives, smashes it into a tree, gets out, surreptitiously puts Plank in the driver's seat. No, really, officers, it was my husband driving. I think no matter how this goes, Muffin is going to frame Plank for a crime.
I love it on any way. There's comedic ways where I think one in like 30,000 million chances Plank wins all by accident.
I want to search Muffin and Plank and see if anyone on the internet has done anything with these two, because I feel like Muffin's been drawn with everybody.
I mean, this is a beautiful thing in my mind now.
If you search Muffin and Plank, you just get a bunch of workout videos of moms trying to plank to lose their muffin tops.
All right, listeners. We've got fan art.
It's up to you, internet. I'm placing this ball in your court. We have decided that Muffin and Plank are this year's hottest power couple. So we're gonna make this happen.
I was starting to think of what tweets I could make about this for a cryptic thing for this episode. I don't think I should tweet that.
Hey, I feel like the bluey part of the internet will respond. I have been recommended enough Facebook pages that are like called like adult bluey fans to know that there's just like a rabid fan base of these weirdos.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm these weirdos.
I don't know if I should call them a power couple, though, is really where I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, power couple, again, I see this as Muffin is playing house with Plank and is fully willing to throw him under the bus for her crimes.
All right.
I like when the Bluey kids play husband and wife, mostly because I like Bingo wearing the mustache and talking in a really deep voice, like, you got it, Bingo. Five. I just, I, I just find it really cute that that's like clearly her like imitating her dad. I don't know.
Have you ever tried calling your boyfriend babe in that Australian
Bye.
accent?
No, that feels too difficult for me.
I think you should give it a shot though and tell me how it goes.
You know what? I'm gonna do that with no context and see how it goes.
It has to be before this episode comes out.
I have a very few amount of times, and I'll have to see how it works. Okay, so
Ding.
ding ding, muffin advances. Sorry, plank. There's just no. You knew there was gonna be no way.
No, but I wanted to see your face dealing with me putting plank in.
It made me very happy.
Again, I chose muffin and plank and normal things. You can tell I was reaching.
Hey, Muffin is making it far, man.
That's true.
Muffin's about to hit the semifinals. But for the rest of the quarters, we got our next new challenger. I entered Wandissimo from Fairly Odd Parents, because he's very handsome. And he's gonna fight Chopper, the war criminal. Is there a way Chopper doesn't obliterate Wandissimo, who, let me be very perfectly clear, definitely deserves it?
Yeah, part of me is like, no, that'd be fun to watch. The only thing one up Wandissimo has is magic.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Wandissimo, despite being a vain, self-centered, kind of serial sexual harasser,
Kinda.
I mean, he does just like rip his shirt off in front of children a lot. Like, I mean, thanks, Butch Hartman. We know you're a creep now. Yes, Katie.
Sorry, I did look up the rules to figure out what Wandissimo could and couldn't do in this fight. You cannot wish to win the competition.
Yeah, wait, is he powerless unless someone wishes for him to do something, is my question.
Not sure. But even still, could not directly kill, maim, or injure living beings. Could only be
Chopper's not living. Chopper's not living.
unless you believe that robots have a soul. Can do indirect. I'm working on it. There's a lot of rules.
Jeez, yeah, it seems like it. Okay,
Magic
but
can't be used to win a contest unless it's a magic duel.
wait, okay, so magic cannot be used to win a contest except for a magic duel.
This a
Yeah, I
magic
think he's.
duel?
It's not a magic duel. I mean, maybe if we'd had him go up against like Jubilee, you could have argued that. But yeah,
Your
I
breakfast
think.
wishes after 10:30 a.m.
I
Breakfast is closed.
think I remember when that came up. That's very funny to me. No breakfast wishes after 10:30, which that's a shame. I enjoy a good egg dinner.
Sometimes you're like, I can only get breakfast from it, or it's like 11 a.m. as you're going to late work, and you're like, I can only get breakfast from one place, and that's fast food because I don't have time.
Pancakes would hit so good right now. We're recording this about, for me, it's like 8 p.m. local. I would love some
Well,
pancakes right
here's the thing. I don't like sweet things for breakfast
now.
very often. I more often like savory. So pancakes sometimes are like a Sunday morning thing, but far more often I do find I want pancakes in the evening. I'm like, I can have sugar at this point. A good chocolate chip pancake and some syrup? Great. At
That's great.
7 p.m. on a Tuesday.
I could really mess that up. That sounds
But
good.
no, here I am eating normal pasta.
Wow, how have you even survived?
I know. I don't have chocolate chips right now, so what's the point of pancakes?
And I'm not really a big fan of chocolate chip pancakes. Anyway, we got I haven't had dinner yet. This is too much. I don't like this.
I think we just ruled that Wandismo has no power.
Wandissimo is fully powerless in this fight. His wand does the little like tip over like sound.
And he's
Yeah.
faced with a war criminal.
And the war criminal obliterates him into a little pile of cartoon ash, and his eyes comedically fall on top of the pile of ash.
And then he just like pulls himself away as Ash. Just a little ash slug.
Scoots, and then even still as a little pile of ash, he somehow still tries to make a play for Wanda in front of her husband. Yeah, fully. Okay, Chopper advances. Ding ding. All right. Next one. Another interesting fight. Nifty is going to be fighting Dr. Ripley, I assume, from Legend of Vox Machina.
Yes.
Okay, so we have two psychopaths going up against each other.
And I'll one say gun.
Yeah, Ripley has range on Nifty. I'll give her that. I'd say, you know, if Nifty ever gets within striking distance, Nifty is going to stab Dr. Ripley to death. However, if Ripley gets a good shot in, she is far away. Well, okay. Hey, I'm now not remembering well. I'm mixing up. I'm literally crossing the streams. Does Ripley use a gun in the animated series? Do we see her shoot stuff? Because, like, I'm willing to make the argument that she has the abilities we as avid viewers of Critical Role will know that she does later become quite proficient with a gun. I don't remember if we see her gunning in the cartoon, and therefore the cartoon version of the character might not be gun person.
Huh. I didn't think about that.
Huh, I mean, yeah. I didn't think about it till this moment either, but I don't know if we... She's kind of more of just, like, the conniving, you know, mad doctor behind the scenes. We see her torturing Percy, so she's definitely, like, not dissimilar from Nifty. I think I could see them all going out for evil drinks afterwards in the evil bar, which is like the genius bar, only there's better customer service somehow. Yeah, I don't know if she's gun savvy yet, as far as we've seen her.
I haven't watched it recently.
And in any case, I'll also say, like, I will give you, even if we're willing to accept the gun, that's a bad gun. Like,
bad gun.
It needs to, like, reload. It misfires constantly. It is like literally like the third gun in existence in this world, versus Nifty, who has a little bit of hellish endurance, we'll give her that, is fast, and I think could possibly make it to the question is this like D&D rules? Like, does Ripley need 6 seconds to fire this gun? In which case, 6 seconds is all Nifty needs.
And here's the other thing I'll give Nifty, which is something in the finale. Of Hazbin Hotel, so skip 10 seconds ahead if you care. Nifty gets full-on shot with, like, a beam of angelic light that should kill her, and she fully just thumbs up and keeps moving.
That is true. Nifty, I think, has a lot more endurance than we're willing to give her credit for. Nifty is an enigma. Like, I'm curious season two if we're gonna, like, start getting more backstory on Nifty's whole deal.
So while Ripley is very powerful and maybe has a gun, Nifty might have been the most troublesome one to come upon.
I think Nifty beats Ripley, and I think Ripley deserves it. I like Nifty a lot better than I like Ripley. I mean, they're both great characters. Like, here's the thing. Ripley might be a little bit morally gray. Nifty is straight up evil, and I delight in that, and I love her so much.
Is Ripley really morally gray?
Not really. I think season one a little bit, but I think by the time we get to her season two conspiring with dragons who have, like, you know, wiped out an entire city like a nuclear bomb. Yeah, no. Just she's lawful evil. Nifty is chaotic evil.
Yeah. Hit the ding ding.
Ding ding, Nifty advances. I'm very happy with that. And this next one in our quarterfinals, our final quarterfinal round, kind of interesting. I think I know a winner. Pearl from SpongeBob versus the Mad Hatter from Batman the Animated Series. Katie, you're not really familiar with Batman.
Nope,
as a
you're in charge here.
Well, I mean, I'll give you the gist. I mean, he's a Batman villain. His whole deal is hypnosis, mind control. He basically just can make you do what he wants. But he's also a frail old man whose whole aesthetic is Alice in Wonderland-y. He also, I think, in order to control someone's mind, like, needs somewhat longer exposure. Like, specifically, he had, like, has these little playing cards that, like, slips into people's hats. I don't know what happens if you're not wearing a hat. That never seems to come up with the Mad Hatter. Everyone he needs to kill is, you know, conveniently wearing a hat or some form of headgear.
Just roll, just fold it up, roll it up, blowhole.
I mean, there you go. Like, that could do it.
However, if he's very frail and weak, does he immediately fall over when Pearl walks?
Yeah, I think if he's standing in the ring and Pearl walks and enters, yeah, I think frail old man Mad Hatter just kind of collapses. I mean, he is definitely one of those villains where, like, he is doing all these machinations, like, behind the scenes, but, like, the second Batman reaches into his, like, general arm span, he's done. Like, mm-hmm. one solid punch, this guy is done. So I feel like he is not terribly well suited for a 1v1 battle in that respect, versus a whale. And also, I feel like Pearl has, like, a weak enough mind that, like, the mind control probably isn't even that interesting with her, you know? Like, I feel like she's kind of too dumb to take direction. Maybe that's just me being mean to Pearl. I feel like Pearl wins this one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Mad Hatter. I love you as a character. I find you very fun and interesting, but you're not... There's a reason I don't think there's ever been a live-action interpretation of you. You are very silly and die very easily.
Now, I know technically what our next semifinal is supposed to be, but can we start with the one that Pearl just got to? Because I feel like the other one's more difficult.
That is true. First of all, ding ding. So Pearl advances, and as she moves into the next ring, she sees herself face to face with Nifty.
Yeah, that one's pretty easy, I think.
Pearl has a lot of surface area to get stabbed by this tiny thing and has very few defenses, and I think Nifty won't really fall over. Nifty is fast. She's kind of like a little cockroach, like, she skirts around really quickly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like it's probably pretty easy for Nifty to kill this whale.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pearl. That
I got nothing for Pearl.
This is getting sad. I'm scared as Nifty continues to advance. In any case, the next one is very interesting.
Yeah, no, this one I'm intrigued by.
So, Katie, when you first put forth Muffin, you also put forth Chopper.
Uh-huh.
Did you think that there was a very real possibility we were going to have to discuss this murder war criminal robot killing a toddler puppy?
No.
Because that's what we have to discuss right now, and I'm leaving this to you because I don't want to talk about it because it makes me sad. But go on. Talk about how this murder robot is going to take on sweet, adorable, fan-favorite Muffin.
Yeah, that's a great question. Really, really good question. Now, Muffin, again, does have the benefit of also being off the handle.
Yes.
Like Chopper.
And the defect of being a toddler puppy.
Yes. And Chopper is without his moral compass in these fights, unless they're on the sideline and that affects him.
I feel like there, I think we've sort of said the premise of these fights is they're kind of no holds barred. Like, they want to fight at least to a certain extent. Like, they have I think we've, like, given some moral compasses before in the sense of, like, yeah, like, again, with, like, Varian not wanting to, like, kill this puppy. But that being said, is Chopper the type, when, like, given a directive to fight, like, would he disobey orders to fight?
Probably not. Now, I should add in, I don't know a ton about Chopper, past the fact he's a war criminal. Now, that was a choice on my end. I do think, now, for Muffin, benefits to Muffin. Muffin, fast. Two, seemingly by the basis of this, we have given her car.
Yeah, yes, we have said that Blood Muffin has her little toy car for sure.
Three, Chopper looks like a toy.
Yes.
With some of these facts, Chopper is slow. He is a droid.
That is true.
He's smart when it comes to calculating, but could Muffin pedal to the floor of that tiny car? Just run him over, and he has trouble getting. Now, do droids
I think they can write themselves.
have hydraulics and little propulsion jets to get themselves back up? Maybe.
Katie, I appreciate the effort that you're putting into this. I don't think Muffin's making it out of this fight.
Maybe not, but I gave Muffin some good chances.
No, Muffin's gonna fight hard. I'd like to think, does Chopper have like a net? Like, don't some of these droids like spit out like a little like metal
Chopper
net?
probably does.
I feel like there is a non-lethal way that Chopper will be able to subdue Muffin.
I'm on Chopper. I finally got to the characteristics.
Ah, okay.
He's cranky.
Okay.
Toes Muffin. Wow, a lot of things are just negative personality traits. Cantankerous, stubborn, irritable. He's mischievous and psychopathic.
Yes.
Also, because I'm scared of what would happen next, I feel like Chopper is the one who can have a non-lethal way to deal with things.
Yeah.
So, I tried to give Muffin some more, but I feel like I can only get Muffin so far here.
Yeah, look, Muffin has fought valiantly. Muffin is a semi-finalist. Good for Muffin. Muffin has a lot to be very proud of when she goes home. I think
Muffin needs a
Chopper's
nap.
the yeah, definitely is in need of a nap. Go take your nap, Muffin. We love you. You are the winner in my eyes, but more accurately, Chopper advances to the finals, where Chopper is going to fight Nifty.
I don't know, man. These are two psychopaths.
These are two soulless creatures who are hell-bent on destruction.
Hey, Chopper's got some good in him. He's just a war criminal who's killed a lot of bad guys.
That's true. I mean, Nifty does not have a terribly high kill count. I'll give her that. But she also is just sort of fighting with a knife. Like, I feel like Chopper has better ways to subdue an enemy.
Chopper has a fire extinguisher,
That would do it.
an electric shock rod, a
That
buzz saw.
would probably be enough. I mean, the question is, there's an entire hotel of sinners who do not play by the rules, who I think the second Nifty goes down are going to come in and dismantle Chopper. Like, Chopper is not getting out of this arena alive. There's a lot of people who, once he has beaten Nifty, are not going to be pleased with that outcome.
Yeah, but that's after the fight.
That's after the fight. Yeah. I think being a metal monster is a good deterrent against a small creature who is armed with a knife. I think this is a very literal don't bring a knife to a gunfight situation because I think Chopper just is a gun. But a good fight. A good fight
Oh,
nonetheless.
it goes a concerning amount of time, I think.
Oh yeah, I think significant Nifty's fast. So I think there's a lot of like pew 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 with Nifty just like running around avoiding the laser blasts. I think it's a good fight. I think it's an interesting fight, but I think in the end, also I think Nifty can still get tired, and I assume Chopper cannot.
Probably not. He's old, but I don't know, it just fell.
I think that was Chopper breaking through your walls.
Yeah. No, I yeah. Yeah, he's a robot, so.
He is a robot. Yeah, I think the winner of this cartoon clash is gonna be Chopper.
War criminal, war criminal.
Ding ding. Congratulations. Chopper. Congratulations to all of our valiant fighters. We had some really good fights this round. Special shout out to Nifty and Muffin who came very close.
Special shout out to Plank.
Plank, our boy Plank. We love Plank. We love Plank. And yes, if any intrepid animator out there wants to draw the scene of Muffin and Plank having a night out in the town that ends with Muffin blaming Plank for various crimes.
Muffin is 100% the videos of women going, "My husband, who died mysteriously, I would never have murdered my husband." Clearly, I would never.
I will watch a spinoff just about Muffin. Hey, Bluey creators, I know y'all are taking a break. Please, please give me a Muffin spinoff. I want to see Muffin host a talk show. Like the way Elmo did that one brief time.
I was going to say like the Patrick Star Show.
Or like the Patrick Star Show. I think Muffin would be a really good late night host, and I would watch the heck out of that every single night. That would be appointment viewing. I would be on the couch every night.
You know what I'd want to see now? Muffin hosting a late night show with Elmo as the guest.
I would think that's great. I'm 100% down on that.
It would be a comfort media moment. Everyone would watch it on repeat.
She's so good. She's so sweet.
All right. Well, we've ding-dinged our way to the end.
We have ding-dinged our way to the end. What a way to put it. Thank you all so much for listening. We're going to pop back into our cartoon time machine, and I guess we have to console some losers.
I've got to start prepping for the next one, because how am I going to come up with another 6 characters after 120?
And the real question is, who beats Chopper? The next battle.
We'll find out in the next time we do a battle royale.
Exactly. We'll have to see. All right. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and we will see you next time.
Ding, ding.